What's up, Kings fans? If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor, it's totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, Kings fans, and welcome to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com and also proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Scott Kinville, and it's happy time in L.A. Kingsland again. Everybody's happy. Feels so good, doesn't it? We're gonna talk about that, but before we do, I want to bring in my co-hosts, my bandmates, as I always call them. First of all, the leader of Hockey Royalty. He is the guy that, like I said last week, and I think it describes it the best, leads us into the charge of the hockey journalistic battles every week and a day and year and whatever you have. He is the one. He is the only. He is Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Scott. Still riding the high after last night's win. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, pretty much. I don't want to come down either. Oh, boy. And anyways, the other part of this trio of LA Kings power here, you know him as the Prince of PDO. He is the Count of Corsi. He is the Emperor of all things analytics. He is Mr. Russell Morgan. What's going on, Russ?
What's up, guys? Yeah, the sun is out, the birds are chirping, and the Kings are playing good hockey. It's fun times in L.A.
Isn't it, though? This is yeah. So cool.
Mm-hmm. Feels good.
Russ,
feels
good to be back. The sun is not out here.
Oh, sorry. I don't know where
well,
you guys are.
Well, it is here, Russ, so don't forget. Oh, boy. You know, I've mentioned before that we are a cross-country production, if you will. You got Russ out there right in the shadow of the Crypto.com arena. Ryan is holding down the fort in the Windy City, and I am, of course, I'm in upstate New York. So I was actually fortunate enough to be able to go out to Buffalo to see the game Sunday. And it's nice because for us, it's about a 3.5-hour drive from where we live. Two things duly noted. Number one, I got to actually meet in person the co-host of the Hockey Rain, or I'm sorry, Making It Rain podcast, Mr. Joe Paterino. And I got to tell you, man, he is a great guy. We had such a good time. A quick funny story before we get going. So
sure.
I had seats three rows back from the ice right next to the Kings bench, right? So I'm texting back and forth with Joe. You know, I'm like, he's like, where are you and where am I? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, I think I'm in a suite. He goes, but I think I'm up above section 209. So I'm looking all around. Now, keep in mind, and I really feel sorry, because the arena was kind of half empty. But so it made it easier to spot Joe because Joe had the old Forum blue and gold Luke Robitaille sweater on. So I see him up there in this suite, and I'm like, oh, that's got to be him, right? So I text him, like, you know, I ask, are you wearing a Robitaille jersey? He's like, yeah. So I start waving like this, you know, and he's looking down like, where is that idiot, you know? And he spots me. So we met up for a drink in between periods, and it was super cool. So
that's awesome.
It is
good for Joe rocking the old Foreman blue Robitaille jersey.
He was. You know,
Scott, did you guys stay overnight?
No, we didn't. No. Because my wife and I had to work the next day. So it was 3.5 hours out and 3.5 hours back. And the worst, you know what? We made kind of a mistake because we should have just eaten at the arena. But we're like, oh no, we're gonna go get something to eat afterwards, and we'll take our time coming back because our daughters didn't want to go. So you think we could find a place that was open? Believe it or not, around an arena. On a Sunday evening, it was a nightmare. Huh. So we ended up eating a Sbarro in a mall.
Best slices in the city.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, it was kind of made for a long ride, but that's okay. oh, man. But other true, real quick funny story, too, because I got to sit that close to the Kings bench. I got to watch Drew Doughty's facial expressions during the game. And I have to tell you guys something. That would be a YouTube channel in itself. That man is having fun 100% of the time he is out on the ice. It is so great to actually – I did. I spent, like, almost a full period just kind of looking over, what's Drew doing now? What's Drew doing now?
Yeah, if the Kings were able to have Drew Doughty mic'd up every game, that'd be must-watch television.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. So, guys, let's talk about that game. I want to get your perspective because from where I was sitting, the only bad part about those seats was I kind of had to watch some of the game up on the video board because we were almost too close, and I had to look around the Kings bench, which, you know, how are you going to tell the LA Kings players, hey, down in front, I'm trying to watch the game, I didn't run here, you know, so...
Yes. Quick, can you sit down, please?
Pretty much. You see those pictures I sent you guys?
Yeah.
Yes. That's how close we were. But anyways, what'd you guys think?
The Buffalo game? Relatively low event, I would say. You know, obviously just the one goal before the two empty netters, but not a whole lot of work for Cal Peterson. I think he had, 19 saves? He had the huge save on Tage Thompson towards the end of the first period that kind of would have swung the momentum in Buffalo's favor going into the intermission and obviously the second period. But, yeah, it was good to get the win. And, Russ, you had the stat in terms of wins in Buffalo. What was it?
I think that was only their second win in Buffalo since 2003.
I think they're, because this is the last time we went out there.
Like the last time that I think it was like 2 years ago, they finally got a win, but before that, they hadn't won there in like 10 years. So, I mean, yeah, when you're looking at trying to play a road game in Buffalo at 1 o'clock Buffalo or Eastern time, so an early game from an LA standpoint, I mean, you're kind of expecting just to really play a good systematic game, especially against the Buffalo Sabres team, who's pretty much kind of down in their dumps right now. And that's exactly what the Kings played. They played a perfect systemic game. Cal Peterson stood on his head when he needed to, but he only had to make 19 saves. So, I mean, it was pretty much like I think I'd mentioned that the Kings just really needed one goal just to kind of give them confidence that they would be able to take the game. And that finally came off the stick of Athanasiou at the end of the second period. So that was good to see. And then finally the two empty netters, just perfect type of game that you want to see a Kings play on the road and then going into Buffalo.
Yeah, definitely. That Athanasiou goal happened right in front of us, too. That was so cool. you know, observations, that first period, I mean, I know the Kings outshot the Sabres quite handily, but honestly, the Sabres actually had more high-danger chances.
They did.
Even though they didn't get that many shots, that game really, really could have been 2-3 to nothing at the end of the first period if it wasn't for Cal Peterson.
Yeah, I really like you. The Sabres have been kind of bagged on the last couple of years, especially with the whole Eichel thing, but I really like the group and the core they're starting to build around. I mean, Alex Tuch, I've talked about him on end. I think he's one of the better players, and I thought he was a really good piece to get in return for Eichel. And then you add Peyton Krebs, and you have players like Tage Thompson, who's – I didn't realize how big that kid is.
Yeah.
He's huge. I mean, especially – he's just like lanky big. Yeah. But he's able to move around the ice really well. He's kind of got like a Quentin Byfield kind of skating aspect to him. So that's good to see. So, I mean, and you have Rasmus Dahlin on the back end. So the Sabres have a really good core to build around. And they're a good team. They had beat some good teams, I think, before. I think they just beat the Maple Leafs a couple of days before that.
And the Wild.
And the Wild, yeah. So they had been playing pretty good hockey. So for the Kings to go in there and shut them out and kind of really just – limit a lot of opportunities that they were able to get throughout the whole game. That was a good showing from LA.
Oh, sure was. I mean, we were actually sitting by a Sabres intern, and I turned, I said to him, I go, after Thompson skated by us, I go, hey, are you guys sure Vince McMahon's not going to sign him for WWE? Don't get comfortable. He is massive.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the, what came out of that was the injury concern to Victor Arvidsson. On the other side of the bench, it was unfortunate to see Alex Tuch go face first into the goal post. Yeah. I think it was more of his shoulder, but I'll say head first into it.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say that the Sabres fans have definitely taken a liking to Alex Tuch. We used to talk about this endlessly about the Jack Eichel saga and all that. But I can tell you just from talking with fans out there, they've washed their hands of him. Because they're actually, and rightfully so, very happy with the return they got. So that's good for them to be able to move on from all that, really. But you're right. I mean, hopefully, you know, Arvidsson's not going to be out too long because that would hurt.
I initially couldn't figure out what happened to him because he kind of just like buckled and then went like face first into the board. So it's like, so did he have a concussion? You know, It looks like he ended up catching an edge on his skate, and it's just kind of.
Yeah, I thought the same thing because it was kind of like happened out of nowhere almost. I mean, he just he was turning. He was real no contact with anybody, so he was turning, and then he kind of just fell into the board. So I thought immediately, is it his shoulder? Did he get dazed a little bit? And then they had mentioned on the telecast that he was favoring his right side or his right leg, I guess. So my immediate thought was that it was possibly maybe a groin injury. Because, I mean, when you're trying to turn like that and trying to turn your legs and you catch an edge, so possibly maybe his upper half of his leg didn't really go the way he wanted to and kind of pulled something right there. So I think it was probably good today that no news, I guess, is good news on Victor Arvidsson front. Because, I mean, the Kings had just placed Brendan Lemieux and IR who got hurt in the Columbus game. So for them not to maybe move Arvidsson to the IR either, maybe that's good news going forward, and we'll see at practice if he's able to join the team tomorrow.
Well, not to be a Debbie Downer, but no IR for now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of why I say, like, no news is good news for right now for Arvidsson.
Right, absolutely. Well, guys, after they got done shutting out the Buffalo Sabres, they headed further east, and we're looking for a little revenge last night.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what happened last Monday night at home against Boston. We're not going to relive that. We're not going to talk about that ever again.
May mention it one time.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's all over now.
Part of the story.
Yeah, exactly, right? So anyways, they played the Bruins at the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts last night, and what a game. What a game that was. A gutty, gutty performance by the LA Kings. Won it 3-2 in overtime on, guess who, Andreas Athanasiou with another big goal. Another game-winning goal, really, when you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. You guys surprised that Cal Peterson got the second start for two nights in a row?
I was. Yeah, I was certain that they were going to go with Jonathan Quick. You know, someone even asked Russ and I in a tweet, and I was like, it's probably Quick tonight, you know, the goalie rotation. But I see it twofold, kind of. Cal Peterson didn't get a lot of work the previous night against Buffalo, and then Jonathan Quick also gave up 5 goals against the Bruins. Yeah, because his confidence kind of shaken still from that game against that team, I'll say. But yeah, it was good to see Cal Peterson get the back-to-back. I mean, we've talked about it several times on here that maybe more work is good for him.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, his numbers in the past, 15 games are unbelievable. Really?
Really, since after the Christmas break. You know, forget who posted it, but Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson have kind of gone in two different directions.
Yeah, Cal was a Christmas present to us. What do you think, Russ?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Ryan, because I think the consistency, we've talked about this, is what Cal really needed. And we saw him being a really good to elite goaltender last year when he was getting a lot of playing time. And early in the year, maybe the 50-50 split kind of hampered him a bit in terms of being a consistent quality goaltender. And now, since January 1st, he's been nothing but amazing for the Kings. I mean, yeah, he's a little shaky at times, but his record has been great. So if they're winning games, it's really all that matters. But I think with the Boston game, it was just, I mean, we look back at the game in Pittsburgh when we had Austin Strand and Jake Moverari just come in out of nowhere and they win the game. Going back to the Columbus game earlier in the trip where Victor Arvidsson just goes off and they come back there. But man, there's nothing really that compares to what the Kings went through in Boston last night. I mean, you lose Brendan Lemieux, you lose Victor Arvidsson, who just comes off a hat trick, and then you lose Mikey Anderson in the first period, and he doesn't come back the rest of the game. And you still are able to pull out a gutty, gritty effort and pull out 2 points on the road in Boston, of all places. It's just an outstanding effort from LA, and it just makes you almost proud to be rooting for the team, because you're seeing a lot of resiliency from this team that you haven't really seen in the past couple of seasons in quite some time, actually. But the player that I have to look at is Andreas Athanasiou, because he's just really kind of stepped up, and he's been scratched. He kind of got that one scratch. It was that Anaheim game where Carl Grundstrom kind of got the start out of nowhere. It wasn't really because of injury or anything, and it was just kind of trying to bring a little bit of a jolt to the lineup a little bit at the cost of Athanasiou. but he's been returned and he's been playing great. And last night he played 1842, which is actually the highest amount of ice time he's had in a Kings uniform in his career so far. So, and he's earned it. He's been playing great. And it's not just him too. It's also players like secondary players like Olimata, who's had a great game. Trevor Moore, who's been nothing but amazing this season. Carl Grundstrom, who had a great game. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it was better, or I guess you're happy to see from a Kings standpoint, is you're not seeing players like Kempe, Kopitar, Doughty step up to win games. You're seeing those type of players win games for the Kings, and that's kind of why you're expecting this team to be a good team going forward and possibly make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what else I noticed last night too? Todd McClellan made the trip all the way across country just to coach the one game.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that speaks volumes to his team, mm-hmm. right? Because if you think about it, he could have just kind of mailed it in and said, okay, guys, well, I'm just going to wait for you guys to get back. You got one more game. I'll see you back in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, that speaks volumes that he actually got on the plane, flew all the way across country. I believe it was Alex Fowlkes that mentioned on the broadcast last night that he got in late. So he was still there for his team. And I think that just that goes a long way in galvanizing not only just the players, but the coach and the players.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Scott. That, I mean, I've fully expected, like, yeah, if he comes back and he's healthy enough to come back, I'm sure it won't be till Thursday when they play at home. But for him to make that cross-country trip and to be with the team that's been on this long, like, slog of a road trip, losing on players on injuries, I think that shows a lot about his commitment to the team and trying to better the team. I mean, obviously he's a head coach and he wants them to win, but he's a part of this group, and I think the team is starting to buy into his system and buy into him being the head coach and being a good leader for the team too.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt. But you know, as great as that game was, we didn't escape the injury bug.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Mikey Anderson tried to come back. It was at the first period, I believe, that injury happened. It was a collision with Brad Marchand, and you know, I know Foxy was talking about, you know, possibly being an interference call. It was a close call. I mean,
they're kind of both going for the puck,
right? That could have gone either way. I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't so much upset as, you know, the no interference call. But if Mikey Anderson's going to be missing time, that's going to really hurt, guys, because, I mean, this kid's been lights out as far as buckling down on his defensive game, and he's been a completely and totally solid contributor and obviously a main part of that defensive core now. I guess the best we can hope for is that we don't hear those dreaded injured reserve.
Right, especially at this stage of the season.
Exactly. So what's your thoughts on that, Russ?
Yeah, it's tough to see because it seems like both Arvidsson and Anderson had one of their better games of the seasons with the Kings, and then the next games they go down. Mm-hmm. In the Buffalo game, Mikey Anderson, I said it's one of the best games of his career. He was involved offensively and he was strong defensively. And the collision, I didn't think it was really anything malicious in terms of the collision from Marchand. Mm-hmm. I think it was just two people coming together fighting for a loose puck. When I saw it, I thought maybe he had lost his wind. Maybe he got the wind knocked out of him. And that's kind of what I thought when he originally came back. But then when he left again, I was thinking maybe he bruised some ribs. I've seen injuries and collisions like that happen before where players think they can come back and it starts to actually hurt a little bit more throughout the game. So, right. I mean, with the long road trip, the Kings have 2 days off until their next game on Thursday. I'm sure it's just better just to kind of be cautious with him right now. I mean, with going into Boston, I wasn't really expecting much in terms of an outcome for the Kings, in terms of a win. I mean, especially coming off the 7-0 loss last week, you're kind of just hoping maybe for a point, and then the win was just great in itself. But yeah, it's just better to be cautious and try to keep players healthy, because right now, I mean, the Kings are a playoff team. That's what it looks like right now, so you have to have players healthy come April.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest with you too, given who it was that he collided with, I hit the rewind button a couple times just to see if I could see an elbow or a butt end or something. Something had to have happened. It's Brad Marchand that was involved, right? And mm-hmm. I have to say I was wrong. It was just one of those hockey plays. It happened. Yep. You know, Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything to add to that. It's just kind of an unfortunate collision. Yeah, it was good to see him make an attempt to come back, but we'll see what happens here in the coming days.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. So let's take a quick commercial break. We're going to get a word in from our friends at DraftKings. And when we come back, let's talk about some players that could maybe come up from Ontario to replace the injured players that we have mentioned. And we'll take a look ahead at the schedule coming up. We'll be right back. All right, here's our message from our friends at DraftKings. Hoops fans, the latest offer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is too good to pass up. I'm talking between the legs, 360 windmill good. New customers can bet just $1 on any team and get $150 in free bets if they win. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still take your shot at a big payday. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Basketball Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NBA team and get $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 plus minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsibility gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Minimum $5 deposit. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccppq.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, that's 467-369. And we're back with more of the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Everybody's still in such a good mood, though. It's so nice. It's amazing what two big wins in a row will do.
When you're 7 points ahead of the Oilers with only one game for them in hand, it feels pretty good. 2 weeks from the deadline.
Just watching them
fall. I don't know how many people expected that, so that's it's a good season.
I know, right? but you know what? We got, like we were talking, we got some injuries, so we got some issues we're going to have to deal with of our own. For right now, the replacements are going to have to come from in-house. So let's start looking at some of these the guys that might have to be replaced for a few games. And I'll tell you what, let's start with Brendan Lemieux. My personal opinion, he's going to be harder to replace than people think because he brings something unique to the team that there isn't a lot of in the organization right now. And that's the ability to rough it up, really. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest with you. Guys like Curtis McDermott are gone. You know, you do have to have that one guy that's going to be that sandpaper grit, drop the gloves when necessary, and also be able to contribute to actually playing hockey instead of just being a slug out there, which Brendan Lemieux has certainly proven that he can play the game. So looking at the Ontario roster, Ryan, who do we think is going to come up to replace Brendan Lemieux if need be?
I'm going to actually answer that differently, Scott. I think he's already on the roster. I think it's Carl Grundstrom.
Interesting.
He filled that role last night, and I thought he filled it quite well. Similar style. It obviously doesn't fight as much, but he had that huge hit on Tomas Nosek, mm-hmm. Right into the boards. And it reminded me of his hit on Bo and Byram in Byram's debut last season. It's kind of a real just rattled him against the boards. Mm-hmm. And he provides some offense too. I think he'll do just fine.
All right, Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like that take. Cause I mean, we think about Carl or Brendan Lemieux. We see all the fights and the biting and all the extra
stuff. Did we see the biting though, Ross?
Yeah, all the extracurriculars that come with it. But yeah, I think Carl Grundstrom would be a great replacement for Lemieux. I mean, he doesn't really fight as much as Brendan does, but he does bring that physical aspect to the game. But yeah, that crunch, that hit that he had against Nosek, man, I mean, it's just powerful. It's just power mm-hmm. is what the first word that came to my mind because it just looked like it hurt, really. But yeah, if he's able to bring that physical presence to the bottom six of the Kings lineup, that's something that would be helpful in terms of replacing Lemieux. We saw Adrian Kempe drop the gloves with Derek Forbert last night. I don't think we want to see him doing that. Jeez. So we need to have Brendan Lemieux or some kind of physical presence in the lineup to replace Lemieux, and I think Carl Grundstrom is a good replacement for him.
You know, guys, I want to bring that up too.
Sorry, just real quick, Scott, on Kempe, it initially looked like he did not want to get involved in that fight because he's like, I need to stay here for overtime.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I was watching it, you know what? Those linesmen could have jumped in a little bit sooner when they were just kind of wrestling with each other. But that's besides the point. All I'm going to say is this. Derek Forbert continues to haunt this franchise.
Yeah.
All right, come on.
I initially thought – I didn't really see the fight kind of start. I don't know if they really showed it, but I initially thought it was going to be an instigator because you think about it, like Derek Forbert isn't going to step foot on the ice during the overtime. Adrian Kempe starts the overtime for the Kings. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of Derek Forbert for the Bruins, it was just a good idea for him to try to ruffle up some feathers with Kempe and try to get him off the ice, and that's pretty much what he did. It looked like Kempe was kind of willing to do it too, and I've heard a lot of people say that, F Derek Forbert, like he's a menace, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, him and Kempe were kind of chatting it up a little bit in the box, kind of talking about it. They're former teammates. I'm sure there's no love lost there, but yeah, it was pretty interesting to see Kempe drop the gloves and go at it with the former teammate of his.
Yeah. And take him off the ice for the rest of the overtime, which they didn't need him. So
didn't need him.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, a guy that we will need going forward and hopefully doesn't miss too much time, Victor Arvidsson. Mm-hmm. That one's going to be a little more tricky. That's a bit more tricky. I don't see anybody on the current roster that's going to bring at least his offensive skill set. So, guys, who are we looking at from Ontario that could come up and I don't want to say necessarily replace Victor Arvidsson, but maybe hold the fort down until he gets back?
Well, there's another player that has two S's consecutive in his name that just got recalled today, so I think Elias Anderson might be the answer. He's not going to bring that kind of offensive capabilities that Victor Arvidsson can to the Kings. I mean, really, who can replace Victor Arvidsson? I mean, he's a shooting hog. He just loves to shoot the puck, so no one else on the Kings shoots as much as he does, so it's kind of a hard shoe to fill. It was tough to see him go down because, I mean, you look at the lineup, there's a lot of changing that has been going on in terms of the first, third, and fourth lines. I mean, or the fourth line has been doing good, but the second line with Deneau, Moore, and Arvidsson was really the backbone of the Kings' offense. And to see a player go down and see Arvidsson go down and have to add another player there, it hurts a little bit. But I think we saw Athanasiou there last night. He looks pretty good, so maybe we see him there. But Elias Anderson possibly could take a lineup spot. And maybe he's been scoring goals in Ontario. He's been the AHL Gretzky pretty much. So I think he might be a good possibility.
What about you, Russ? Ryan.
You know who else likes to shoot the puck? Gabe Vilardi. What does this guy have to do to get a call up? He's got 15 goals, 22 assists with the Rain. He's shooting the puck at a 20% clip. He's moved to the wing. Let's see it. I don't get it. I mean, I've been less than impressed with Elias Anderson. I understand that he was drafted four spots ahead of Gabe Vilardi, but I just think Gabe offers a little more than, you know, what we've seen from Elias Anderson at the NHL level.
Yeah, I think it's because, yeah, like you just said, it's because we've seen Elias Anderson time and time again. He's had the opportunities, it seems like, but Gabe Vilardi, he had the full season last year where he was kind of thrown into the fire pretty much as a second line center, maybe a little bit prematurely. Mm-hmm. But this year he only had, I think, four games and then was kind of and sent back down.
That was seven, then he was a healthy scratch for the eighth and then sent back down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's tough because, there's Kings Twitter is hounding for the Kings to call up Gabe Vilardi. And it's been hard because, they've been winning games. So you don't really want to change the lineup that much when you're a team that's winning games. I get that. But now with the injury bug is kind of hampering the Kings, maybe he should get a call and see what he can do in the NHL since he's been able to develop on the wing with Ontario. The only thing that I'm kind of skeptical about is what if he does come up and he doesn't do well?
I was just thinking that.
What happens then? Do you send him back down? I mean, it's just like a back and forth that the Kings would have to do just until he's able to develop fully until a full NHLer, which I think he eventually will become. Because, I mean, we've seen the skill set. The skills are there. I mean, he's a great player. But I think this back and forth with him going to the Kings it would be tough for his development. just keep him with Ontario. If he stays with Ontario throughout the year, I don't think that's the worst thing. Give him Calder Cup playoff experience. Have him. He's playing with players like Martin Furr, TJ Tynan, who are helping him develop the game and learn a little bit. I mean, Brett Sutter has been a great captain for him, I think, too, and a leader for him in terms of his development. And so he's gaining chemistry with future Kings, too. So maybe that might be the best place for him.
Oh, yeah, and the reason I just said trade value is because, obviously, we're going to bring it up again. For the fifth episode in a row, Jacob Chychrun, right? Gabe Vilardi was mentioned, one of the big names in that Arizona will be interested in. And I think there's a lot to be said for that, Russ, because if he does come up and it doesn't go so well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it would significantly decrease his trade value, but it's something else you have to think about. And I just wanted to get that in after I just so rudely cut Ryan off. So
no, that's okay. I mean, the other side of the coin is, you know, do they need to call up anyone else? Why not just let Athanasiou play on the second line?
Yeah, exactly.
He still fulfills the role of the needing to fill out the initials for the Mad line. and he's been scoring, you know, at will.
You know what? Here's my thought on that. So the fourth line has been outstanding, right? Lemieux, Lizotte, Kaliev. Well, Lemieux's out. Yeah. So you're already missing one third of that line. I would actually kind of like to see Arthur Kaliev get moved up in the lineup, give him a shot up there, and then maybe rework the fourth line a little bit. Because let's face it, on the Kings, they're kind of like the Islanders West. I mean, they're not a team that's going to take their fourth line and say, you're only going to play 8 minutes. They're going to get playing time. So why not put Kaliev up on the second line, bring somebody like an Athanasiou down, or if you're going to like Elias Andersson, right? It'd be a perfect spot for him down on that line. Get him acclimated back to the NHL or whoever they decide they're going to bring up. So the options are available. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to have to see what's in the mind of Rob Blake and of Todd McClellan. So but,
I mean, it is interesting because I wonder, Elias was sent down for a conditioning stint, so to speak. What if he's a healthy scratch on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean,
is this an extra body?
The Kings, I mean, you're coming off a win. Do you change the lineup right that much? I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't think you do. I mean, as much the one thing I will say, as much as I love Jared Anderson Dolan's game, he's not a first line player. I mean, just to have him kind of there is almost just kind of filling that spot, really. I mean, I think the biggest thing, I think the biggest move I think the Kings should make is switching out him and Kaliev. I mean, if you're going to roll with players that we're playing games with a little bit of an injury bug right now, why not try that out for a little bit? See what Kempe, Kopitar, and Kaliev can do together. I mean, Athanasiou on the second line makes a little bit of sense. I mean, if we remember earlier in the year, Iafallo, Deneau, and Athanasiou was an amazing line for the Kings at the beginning of the season. So maybe bring back a little bit of that chemistry with Trevor Moore now in that spot. I still don't really get having Alex Iafallo on the third line. Is that a message? Do you guys think that's a message to him? Is it a message to maybe try to – is it trying to wake up Quentin Byfield or bring his game up a little bit? What do you think, Scott?
I think it's actually more maybe to help Quentin Byfield because, I mean, honestly, I mean, everybody loves Alex Iafallo and everybody loves his game. But everybody has also said, including us, that you know he's not going to be your permanent first-line left winger going into the next – 4 or 5, 6, 7 years, right? So use this opportunity to maybe put him in a spot where he can help out of somebody like a Quentin Byfield, because let's face it, Anze Kopitar does not need help.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he is Anze Kopitar. I don't think that there's really any kind of a message to be sent to him there. I think that it's more of a maybe get him in a spot where he's more accurate or it's going to be better for his skill set, right? And if you can do that while helping out your budding superstar eventually, then you've just killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah, what do you think, Ryan? You're going to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's more a place to put them because they didn't want to break up the Mad line.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, not going to break that line up just so I follow a second line minutes.
Yeah. And like you said, Scott, we've talked about this on end, that when the Kings are perennial Stanley Cup contenders, Iafallo isn't going to be playing on the first line. I mean, and I think in the future to have him as a wing with Quentin Byfield, man, that's perfect. I think that's a great spot for him. If you have that Deneau Moore Arvidsson line in the playoffs, I mean, to have Quentin Byfield playing with Alex Iafallo, and then we talk about Dustin Brown. I mean, he's kind of there too, but I mean, that's a pretty good third line to have going into the playoffs. But the thing is they're losing some skill on the top line. But does that open up a spot for a trade, maybe for like a Philip Forsberg? I mean, because if you trade for Forsberg and slot him in right there with Kopitar and Kempe, geez, I mean, that's exactly what the Kings need. I mean, that solves all of my problems pretty much going forward. But yeah, I mean, it's just opening. It's just kind of, you're kind of, was it robbing Peter to pay Paul is what they say. I mean, you're just kind of, you're taking a little bit of the problems from the third line and putting them on the first line. So we'll see what happens with the team going forward in the lineup.
Yeah, I think there's absolutely a lot to be said for that. And we're going to talk about the trade deadline going forward in another episode, of course. We're not going to get too far into it today. But just as a little primer, I do think that the Kings will do something at the trade deadline. You know, I keep hearing some saying, they're going to stand pat. You know what? It's just something that just seems to be shaking up.
I'll say from our last episode, if the injuries on the roster linger for another week or so, you're not trading Athanasiou.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not trading any of the other passengers that you could probably would have had the opportunity if everyone was healthy.
Yeah, he's definitely played. It's hard, though, because, I mean, I'm sure there are teams out there that would probably pay a hefty price, maybe a third, maybe even second round
for
Athanasiou. Yeah. I mean, you look at his career. I mean, he's just got a 30-goal scorer title next to his name. So that's something that a lot of playoff teams that are maybe desperate for scoring are going to be looking for in terms of needing some depth scoring. I think, but if the Kings are fully healthy, it's hard to find a spot for Athanasiou on the lineup when they were rolling. But the way he's been playing, he's playing himself into a role with the team for the rest of the year.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. And, of course, now that that fourth-round pick became a third-round pick in the Carter trade, I don't think we can look at Pittsburgh because I think we've pretty much taken everything from them. But, yeah, that's going to be a fun conversation. I think maybe next week we'll talk about the trade deadline a little bit.
I will say that Boston win last night was up there with the Pittsburgh win for me this season.
Yeah.
Maybe above it.
Yeah.
Is it me, though, guys, or is it every time that the Kings play in Boston now, I still can't help but think about Tyler Toffoli's goal with points.
Yes.
I just can't help it, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest goals in Kings history. It's crazy.
I know. It's embedded in every Kings mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things, you know, if you're having a down day, you think about that, it puts a smile on your face. Even if just for a few minutes.
Well, I mean, kind of transitioning from face-offs to quick goals, you know, how vital was it for Philip Deneau to win that face off with under 30 seconds left? It goes Kopitar up to Durzi, over to Kaliev, fires it on. It looks like it hit a bunch of traffic in front of net and landed right in front of Trevor Moore.
Yeah, it's
that's why they got him.
Exactly. I mean, and he doesn't go in the box score, but I mean, if he doesn't win that face off, then the Kings don't score pretty much.
Right.
I mean, well, maybe, but yeah, Kings don't score that goal. I mean, that's just. It was great to see the players that McClellan had on the ice in the final minute of the game. I think right as they pulled the goalie, I think it was like Kaliev, Lazat, Mata, Deneau, all the secondary players that really earned that playing time at the end of the game because of the way they'd been playing throughout the game. I think we got to talk a lot more about Blake Lazat and the impact that he's made on this lineup. I mean, night in and night out, with everything that the Kings have gone through all year, he's just been consistently driving play on the fourth line. And yeah, I'll be the first one to say I've ragged on him a bit in past years, been critical of his game. I mean, but we're starting to see him develop into a really viable option for the Kings on the bottom six. And I think we have to start talking about him being a part of the future of this team too.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, actually. And you want to talk about some of you, we talked about a little bit earlier about if Alex Iafallo being sent to the third line was a message. I think Blake Lazat took all the preseason message and ran with it, right? Because really, definitely. Let's be honest, nobody gave him a chance at making this team.
No.
Actually, Joe, our writer Joe, did. He said he's a perfect fourth line center. So Give all the credit to Joe.
Exactly. Everyone talked to Joe and mentioned how great of a prediction that was.
Yeah.
Good for Joe. That's awesome. That is awesome. Oh boy. So guys, we got some games coming up here. Let's take a look ahead at the schedule. Thursday, the San Jose Sharks come to town. San Jose isn't having the greatest season in the world, but you know what? Pacific Division games are never an easy given win. So they're going to have to be on their toes because, of course, the Sharks are a hated rival as well. And then a couple nights later, they go up to the Shark Tank. And then the day after, I think it's Saturday, right? Saturday or Sunday? I got to look.
It's Sunday. It's Thursday, Saturday, and then Sunday.
Oh, I got my days all mixed. It was all that travel right. I did yesterday.
Yeah. No worries.
So anyways, Sunday night, then the schedule starts getting really rough because the Florida Panthers come to town. And then followed a couple of nights later by the Colorado Avalanche coming to town. Mm-hmm. So I don't really want to say that the San Jose games are must-win games, but I think they got to get points out of those games. At least one in each at a very minimum. Mm-hmm. They can't leave points on the board there. And I will tell you, it's the funny thing about the Kings, and I told you I wasn't going to mention last week's game, and I'm not going to. But take away the game that we weren't going to talk about anymore, right? And they seem to play okay against teams that are, you know, maybe above them in the standings. So obviously it's not, you know, a given. And we honestly, guys, as Kings fans, we don't think that way anymore. Because going into every game now, we think that this team can win. Mm-hmm. I don't care who they're playing. But let's just be honest. I mean, San Jose is a little bit lower of a caliber than a Florida or a Colorado. But I will say I am looking forward to these Florida and Colorado games because it's going to be a real litmus test about where this team is.
Yeah, I don't think it would be surprising to say that the Kings have always been a team that plays to their competition. Up or down, exactly. And I think with this, whenever the Kings end up playing the Sharks, it always seems with the Sharks how they've been the last couple of years, it always seems like they play down to that competition. And you're just kind of hoping that they can ride this momentum that they've gained in these last couple of games on the road trip, coming back home, and the injury bug isn't as severe as it has been. So if they are able to get their players back and maybe stay healthy and go into this next couple of games against San Jose, I think like you mentioned, Scott, they have to come away with a victory in one of them at least, and get 2 points out of these next two games because. Yeah, after that, you have my two picks to go to the Stanley Cup coming into crypto.com with Florida and Colorado coming right after that. So it's going to be a tough test to the rest of March because I think they have 3 out of the next 5 games against San Jose.
Yeah, and then Vegas on the tail end of that.
Yeah, then you go into Vegas and you're at home against Nashville, and we saw how the Kings played against Nashville. That's going to be another tough game. So they have a pretty tough March, and it's going to be a long slog and to see how they go leading up to the deadline too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's some games in there against the Oilers as well when I looked ahead.
Yeah, on the 30th. Wait, guys, do we know if Timo Meier will be traded before Thursday?
God, I hope so.
Yeah, please. Even if we got to be the third team just to facilitate that. Oh, man. But, you know, I'll tell you, I am actually looking forward to like those Edmonton games and Nashville games as well because, you know what, this is where the Kings can really solidify their playoff spot too. Think about it. You do well against the Oilers. You win those, you know, forget a 3-point game. You win those games in regulation. And now you have pretty much put anybody or a team that, you know, was a potential that could have caught you in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
For our football fans out there, Denver just acquired Russell Wilson from Seattle. That's kind of interesting. No little sidebar. Sorry, that just came across my timeline. That was pretty
made it onto the podcast.
There you go. We're crossover here. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, as a Rams fan, that makes me very happy. So what a great weekend this has been so far.
A lot of movement and money going out in the NFL.
Scott, it's Tuesday.
Well, I'm still on weekend mode, though. See, it was all that traveling I did.
I'm just giving you crap.
That's all, no, believe me, that's mild. My life. Don't worry about it. Well, guys, this has been fun. Any closing thoughts?
No, just feeling good and watching the Kings play hockey. I mean, not much more else you can say. It's been a fun team to watch this year, and it's finally good to see some quality hockey being played in LA.
Absolutely. How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, all last night, during the game, you know, there was never a point where I thought the Kings were going to lose that. And I even pointed to Cal Peterson's saves at like 5 minutes into the third period. I was like, oh, remember those if the Kings have, end up winning this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year I wouldn't have said that.
No, no, not at all. Not at all. So good times, good times. Let's hope they continue on through the rest of the week.
Absolutely.
So I think that's all we got. So if you get a minute, not only do you want to listen to the Hockey Royalty Podcast, but take a listen to Making It Rain. It's everything you want to know about the AHL Little Brothers down in Ontario. So
yeah, they're doing pretty good too.
Yeah, exactly, right? and as always, you can check out HockeyRoyalty.com every day for Rain and Kings news and opinions and analysis and everything you want to have as far as the Kings world. And, of course, we thank you for listening. We thank you for all the support with the website, on social medias, which you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, the whole works. Wherever you want to go to social media, Hockey Royalty is there. So, anyways, for Ryan Sykes, for Russell Morgan, I'm Scott Kimball. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Go Kings, go.
Go Kings.